Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for your support, Corey.
Apple, Macintosh, or Apple, Microsoft, but still brothers.
Good morning. The only thing that lets me get up here right now and speak to you is because I know you love me and that I know that you want me to do all right. And that you won't rub my nose in it when I fall down too much.
Amen.
Let's see here. I should say first off that the lesson that I want to present this morning is not anything that's aimed at anybody. It was aimed at me when I got it.
All right.
And they say that the easiest lesson to give is the last one that you learned. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those. I seem to have learned this lesson over and over, which may mean that I haven't learned this lesson at all. But it was presented to me recently in a way that was so emphatic that it's been weighing on me and urging me to share it. So you see, it was Whit's last lesson to me. It was easy to see that Whit put a lot of effort into picking the topics of his lessons, making sure that we got a balanced diet of scriptural teaching.
All right.
But the timing of this last lesson wasn't his choosing, it was God's.
Amen.
On Father's Day weekend, my father and I took a little trip. We went to Ohio, where we attended an open house for a company that sells parts for a little car that we work on together. The fact that my dad and I spend time together doing things like that is in response to an earlier version of this same lesson, but we're not going to go into all that right now. Whit's lesson to me started just around the corner from where this picture was taken. We saw this. Now, Whit is such an uncommon name that coming across a place called Whit's Frozen Custard surely warranted stopping to take a picture.
All right.
Right? This picture was taken on Saturday night, and our plan was to be driving home Sunday evening. And I thought to myself that I'd show Whit this picture on Wednesday when I'd see him next. For whatever reason, I decided, you know, I'm just going to send this picture to him. So I tried to work my Apple iPhone to send a text and got the picture over to Whit so he could see it. And he responded right away, and we shared a laugh. And that was nice. And Sunday morning, when he saw Barbara come in, first thing he did was come up to her and show her this picture, and they shared a little interaction, a little laugh too. Silly little inconsequential stuff, right? But this is the stuff that builds relationships. And if it had gone to my original plan, and I had intended to show this picture to Whit on Wednesday night, he never would have seen it. He was gone on Tuesday. So it brought to mind what James said in the fourth chapter of his epistle. We're reading verses 13 through 17. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city and spend a year there and trade and make profit. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills,
amen,
we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast. You boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Now please understand that this verse is not saying that saying, Lord willing, is like some special incantation that makes it okay with God if we just go about our greedy little lives, so long as we've said the magic word. No, it's a mindset that we need to carry with us when we make and execute our plans.
Amen.
Jesus told a story about a man who was unclear on that concept in Luke chapter 12. We read, the land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, what am I going to do? I don't have room to store all my crops. I'll do this. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods stored up for many years. Relax. Relax. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.
All right.
And just a few verses later, verse 34, it says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Amen.
Once we understand that our time is so uncertain, we begin to see the necessity of using it wisely in ways that bring glory to God. Since we can't do everything at the same time, we have to prioritize what we do. And when we give high priorities to things that are temporary worldly concerns, we have missed the mark. So, what's important to God? What are his priorities? And how do I align mine with him?
Amen.
In Matthew chapter 5, we will see an example of that. You see, the God who made heaven and earth, he doesn't need our sacrifices. He's a God of relationships. His character is the definition of love. And he's been working throughout the history of mankind to bring reconciliation, ultimately bringing him to sacrifice his only begotten Son on our behalf. When our character reflects his, and we learn to love those round about us, we are aligning our priorities with him.
Amen.
Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24 reminds us that if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift. Just leave it there. go first, be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift.
Amen.
Excuse me. There's something in my notes that isn't in my notes. Oh, I'm going to move on. Paper is old school, right? Thanks for your patience. It is appreciated. So how can we approach God in worship without recognizing and honoring his efforts? If you can think of relationships in your life which are strained, and God were to ask you, if you've done all that's possible, as far as it depends on you, mm-hmm. to fix them, are you comfortable with your answer? If you can do something to improve it, God expects you to. Reading in Romans chapter 12, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good.
Right.
Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation and be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all.
Amen.
But what's the rush, right? When do you need to do that? Fixing relationships. Relationships that need fixing need both parties to be breathing. Whether it's someone across the country, across town, or across the breakfast table, you need to fix the relationships.
Amen.
Opportunities arise, and when they are passed, it's awfully hard to get them back. And when death comes, the opportunity is gone. Life is so uncertain that we need to see it as the blessing it is, mm-hmm. and use it accordingly. Sometimes it's difficult to say the things we need to say. Usually it's our own pride that's in the way. And when we yield ourselves to God's will and let others see Christ living in us, it's much easier. if Christ is living in us, we know what he was willing to do to repair our relationship with the Father. That makes whatever we need to do seem paltry and insignificant.
All right.
He gives us the strength, the guidance to do what we need to do.
Amen.
If you have yet to start your life as a child of God, don't put that off. When Saul saw the light on the road to Damascus, it was as plain as day that he needed to change his course in his life. When he understood what God had in store for him, Ananias asked him this simple question: why do you wait? There's nothing that gets better by delaying obedience to God.
Amen.
Nothing. In him, there is life. He'll wash your sins away and fix your broken relationship with him. And he'll give you three pages. I've got to work with that technology too, right? He'll give you the strength and the direction to work on the broken relationships with the people around you.
Amen.
May God give us the strength to improve.
Amen, brother.
I'm sorry, Corey. I don't know where we are.